8. Again, this is the word of wisdom unto us. It is the call of wisdom as given through the word of God. Lift up her voice. On top of the heights beside the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates at the opening to the city, at the entrance of the doors, she cries out, "To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O naive ones, understand prudence, and O fools, understand wisdom. Listen, for I will speak noble things, and the opening of my lips will reveal right things. For my mouth will utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverted in them. They are all straightforward to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwelt with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way, and the perverted mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all who judge rightly. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield better than the choicest silver. I walk in the ways of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of justice, to endow those who love me with wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. From everlasting I was established, from the beginning of the earliest times of the earth. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While he had not yet made the earth and the fields, nor the first dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above. When the springs of the deep became fixed. When he set for the sea its boundary, so that the water would not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master workman, and I was daily his delight. Rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the world, his earth, and having my delight in the sons of men. Now therefore, O sons, listen to me. For blessed are they who keep my ways, heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. For he who finds me finds life, and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death. Let's pray. I ask, O Father, we ask together as we pray together that you would work in us through your word and spirit and abounding faith to trust your word, to hear the voice of wisdom found in this, your word, especially in the preaching of your word. We pray that you would mold us and make us into the image of Christ. We pray, O Father, that you would help us to seek wisdom and live, and to leave and forsake the paths of death and unrighteousness. Help us, we pray, for we ask these things in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. I do not think it's an accident that so many unbelievers today love the things that are dark and grotesque and deadly. It's fascinating to me. I think of this often because I came out of this if you listen to heavy metal music, very oftentimes the covers of these albums are very dark, sometimes having demons and devils and undead or zombies or you name it. There's even one artist in a band called White Zombie where the singer is called Rob Zombie. He's even changed his name to be a zombie himself. He dresses like a zombie when he performs. I don't even know if he's still performing or not. But people who are fascinated with death like that, oftentimes in the unbelieving realm, there are those who love this sort of stuff. I used to love to draw skulls and things of that sort when I was a kid. I liked that stuff because I was in darkness. But why is that? I believe that the conclusion of this chapter says it. If you look at the conclusion of the chapter, the second half, it says of that verse 36, all those who hate me love death. Those who hate wisdom. Wisdom speaks forth and says, those who hate me love death. They are deceived, and I was for a time, that they're fascinated about death and they're fascinated about what comes after death. To them, deep down, every unbeliever knows that there is an afterlife because eternity is written upon our hearts, according to Ecclesiastes 3:11. God has placed a deep understanding upon every man, woman, and child that there is an eternity, that there is a God and there is a coming judgment. There's an existence that happens after we breathe our last breath. The problem is that so many people who are unbelievers are deceived at the nature of what happens after they die. They think that hell is a place where they're going to have a great party with their friends. It's going to be a really hot party, but they're going to have a great time with their friends. Or they think because they're tough and they're some really manly man that they're going to run the show when they get there. It could be so far from the truth, can it? Even the toughest, meanest, most vicious man in this life, when he wakes up in torment and he opens his eyes in torment, he will weep like a child, pleading for the rest of eternity for God to spare him of that woe. That time of mercy and love will be passed because he has forsaken it. So wisdom, to spare us of that fate, has called us to hear her voice. She is personified as a woman in today's text and throughout the Proverbs, as a woman calling out for people to listen unto her. Wisdom can be defined, I believe, as God's general and special revelation. Now, God reveals his truth to us both in the book of nature and in the book of Revelation, his holy scriptures. Again, general revelation is that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament declares his praise. And we look at the wonderful things that God has made and we know that there is a God, that there is a creator. So he speaks to us through the creation. But I believe the main focus of today's text is special revelation, that which God has revealed unto us through his Holy Spirit, the way of wisdom, but the way of eternal life that can only be found through this God's holy word. As we listen to the voice of wisdom today, you are to heed wisdom. You are to heed the call of wisdom to have eternal life. You are to heed the call of wisdom to have not only life in this life, but eternal life as well. We see this in three main points. The command to listen to wisdom. We'll look at wisdom at creation, and then we'll look at the ultimatum of wisdom. Let's look at this first main point, listen to wisdom, verses 1 through 5. Does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice on top of the heights beside the way where the paths meet? She takes her stand beside the gates at the opening of the city. At the entrance of the door, she cries out, to you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O naive ones, understand prudence, and O fools, understand wisdom. So as wisdom cries out today in today's text, we see, especially in verse 5, that there is hope for those who are naive. That's those who are foolish, those who are naive and foolish. If we read that carefully in verse 5, it says there's hope. because the naive person can come to an understanding of prudence. And the fool of this world can understand wisdom. So we know by the power of God that people can change. And we'll look at that a little bit later in today's message. Now, this text in today's sermon does not support the notion of this caste system that's over 2,000 years old in India. If you were born of a caste system, if you were especially born of that lowest caste level called the Dalit, you were considered untouchable. If you were of a higher class, you wouldn't want to go near one of these people. You wouldn't want to touch them unless you'd be tainted by one of these low class caste system people. And the claim was that no one could ever rise above or come out of that low caste or that low hierarchy of society, that they were destined. They understood that people were born and their destiny was already sealed. If they were born poor, they would remain poor all of their lives. But Proverbs 8, 5 and following says something different. It says that naive people can grow to understand prudence and fools can understand wisdom. And that God can bless not only those people who gain wisdom and understanding with that wonderful gift of wisdom, but he also blesses them with many other physical blessings of this life. Look at verses 15 through 18. By me, that is, by wisdom, kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me, that's wisdom, princes rule and nobles and all who judge rightly. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. Verse 21 says, to endow those who love me with wealth that I may fill their treasuries. From these verses, first notice that wisdom does not come by osmosis, like a sponge. If you just sit in church and you listen, or if you just sit in church and don't listen, that it's automatically going to come to you, that you're going to grow to be wise. It says, wisdom comes to those who diligently seek me. Those who diligently seek to pay attention and apply the word of God. Those who God ordains to great wealth or to any measure of wealth, they don't blow their wealth frivolously or in a haphazard manner. Verse 18 says, divine wisdom gives enduring wealth. They have wealth that lasts. More importantly than the material blessings is what God gives to those who seek Christ as the ultimate source of wisdom. God gives an enduring righteousness. And we'll look at that more later on in today's text. Again, concerning God's power to change people, I love these words that the Holy Spirit gave to Hannah when Hannah gave forth that praise unto God in Hannah's song. It's listed there in your outline in 1 Samuel 2, 6 and following. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. So God can give that sort of blessing of riches and honor to even the lowest person upon this earth. And he has done so. And look at King David. King David was born into a family, not a great family, and he was a shepherd of sheep. And he became arguably the greatest king that Israel ever had. God can lift up a shepherd boy, a young shepherd, and make him the king of Israel. But throughout Proverbs 8, God gives us many reasons why we should listen to the voice of wisdom when she speaks through Holy Scripture. The first one is that wisdom speaks in a way that is noble and upright. Look at verses 6 through 9. Listen, for I will speak noble things, and the opening of my lips will reveal right things. For my mouth will utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverted in them. They are all straightforward to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Another reason we should listen to wisdom is because wisdom isn't merely to bring forth wealth, but wisdom herself is the thing that is above the wealth of this world. She is far above the worth of riches. Verses 10 through 11. Take my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. And then skip to verse 19. Wisdom says, my fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield better than choicest silver. One of the ways that we can look at a person and see if they are listening to the voice of wisdom, as she calls forth in Scripture, is how they deal with sin. So we can tell if someone is listening to wisdom by how they deal with sin. And that's mentioned there in verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way, the perverted mouth, I hate. If God hates these things, if the voice of wisdom hates these things, and you're a Christian, you should hate these things as well. Verse 20 says, I walk in the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of justice. A person who seeks wisdom is going to seek to do the same. They're going to flee these horrible things, and they're going to seek to walk in the midst of the path of justice. A child of wisdom walks in the paths of wisdom, in the ways of wisdom. A huge reason we ought to listen to the voice of wisdom is because wisdom was founded upon the creation. We'll look at this next main point, wisdom at creation. Not only was she, I wouldn't say she was founded at creation, she was there before the creation. And we'll look and see that in today's text. Look at verses 22 to 23. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. From everlasting I was established. Now there may be some, I hope no one here would want to press this verse 22 in saying that the Lord had a beginning. The beginning of his way. Like the Lord began sometime. Because he didn't have a beginning. He always did exist from eternity past. But I think the following context indicates that the beginning of his way is pointing to God's creative work in creating the universe in 6 days. And we'll see that. It points to that creation work week in creating the universe. Wisdom was present during God's almighty creative process and even before it. Wisdom said, she is eternal. Look at verse 23. From everlasting, I was established. Wisdom was established from everlasting. When we answer that question, what is God? The full, complete answer to that question, according to the Shorter Catechism, is God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. But if you kind of cut away a little bit from it and we focus on wisdom, the answer to what is God, according to the Westminster Confession, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his wisdom. Wisdom is infinite. Wisdom is eternal. And wisdom from God is unchangeable. That attribute of God's wisdom is infinite, eternal, unchangeable. Wisdom says, from everlasting I was established. That's the reason we ought to listen to her. She was established from before the creation of the earth. To ignore wisdom is to ignore the infinite, eternal, and unchangeable God of wisdom. Some people believe we need to look at what is new and innovative and consider the old as outdated. Now, there could be truth in that concerning such areas as maybe engineering and architecture, or such things as maybe design of engines, which would be engineering. But you can't look at theology and you can't look at morality as being outdated if it comes from an eternal source of wisdom founded in God's holy word. Today's text teaches us that everlasting wisdom was from old, and it's better than what the modern people consider as wisdom in our day and age. Let's look at wisdom in creation, verses 23 through 30. From everlasting I was established, from the beginning, from the earliest time of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills were brought forth, when he had not made the earth and the fields, nor the first dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when the springs of the deep became fixed, when he set the sea its boundaries, so that the water would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master workman. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Again, we should listen to the voice of wisdom because she predates the very creation and foundation of the heavens and the earth. Her ways are of old. She was instrumental in the creation because she was that master workman, as mentioned in today's text. If she was the master workman in the design of this earth, of this universe, don't you think we should listen to her when she says how we ought to live on this earth? I think so. To ignore the voice of God's wisdom is to ignore the very foundations of his created order. God delights in wisdom, so should you. Look at verse 30. As a master workman, I was daily his delight. Wisdom was the delight of God in that creation. It's a mark of growing sanctification when we learn to love what God loves. We see a lot of that in today's text. Because God delights in wisdom, you are to delight in her and seeking her as well. Divine wisdom delights in things. And we read about justice. We read about noble things. We read about right things. We read about truth, righteousness, the paths of justice. All these things wisdom delights in, and we should delight in as well. But the second mark of sanctification is growing to hate what God hates. God is eternal, and in his wisdom, he hates sin. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips, says wisdom, verse 7. Verse 13, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. When God made this creation, he said it was very good. He said it was good, but at the end of the creation, he said it was very good. At the end of Genesis 1, 31. And Proverbs 8, 30 through 31, it kind of expands on that truth of God saying it was all very good. It says in Proverbs 8, 30 and following, that wisdom was rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the world, in that creation that she helped make, in his earth, having my delights in the sons of men. And I believe that we ought to delight in the things as well. When God delights in all of his creation, and we ourselves have a heart to delight in the things that are beautiful, in the wonderful smells, in the wonderful tastes, in the wonderful textures of this creation, because it's written upon our hearts. We are to delight in what God delights in. God delights in his creation, and so should we. Of course, we know that it's a creation tainted by sin. Adam and Eve, prior to the fall, they had a perfect fellowship with God. And I believe that when it says that wisdom had her delight in the sons of men, she had that perfect delight, especially before the fall. But I think when we are restored in and through Jesus Christ, that wisdom continues to delight in the sons of God who are redeemed by the Savior. As we look at the delight that is to be restored in those who are saved, we need to look at the ultimatum of wisdom. Look at that ultimatum of wisdom. Notice that in verse 32, there is a blessing component of God's for those who receive wisdom. Verse 32, now therefore, O sons, listen to me, for blessed are they who keep my ways. And the covenant, again, is a covenant of blessing and cursing. I think the inverse of verse 32 is true. Cursed are they who refuse to keep the ways of wisdom. Blessed are you if you keep it, but cursed are you if you reject it. Let's look at Psalm 34. Let's turn there. A wonderful psalm that talks about God's blessing and cursing those who blessing those who seek him and flee to him, but cursing those who set their face against him. Psalm 34. Let's start at verse 11. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers. That's a curse. He's against the evildoers. To cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, and not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. In that psalm, you see a back and forth. It's cursing for the wicked, blessing for the righteous. Cursing for the wicked, blessing for the righteous. And security and deliverance. And the righteous in God shall not be condemned. We look back at today's text. We'll see that if we are willing to heed God's wisdom, we must be able to listen, to heed instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. That's mentioned there in verse 33. Heed instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. In order to gain wisdom, you have to be willing to heed, to submit, to place yourself under the teaching of someone else if you want to grow to be wise. And I believe that one of the reasons why people don't want to sit under teaching, whether it's in college or especially in the Christian church, is they think they have all the answers already. They're not willing to be taught. Proverbs 26:12 says, "You see a man wise in his own eyes, there is more hope for a fool than for him." And that's why they don't want to sit under preaching. It's a miserable experience to try to teach someone who doesn't want to be taught. Every time you even gently try to correct them, they act like you just stabbed them or something. It's a horrible experience. And they get defensive and they attack you because you don't want to bow down to their perfection, right? That's because they're wise in their own eyes. A person like that, there's more hope for a fool than for them. Let's turn again to Proverbs 3, 5 through 8 as a corrective. Proverbs 3, 5 through 8 is a corrective for those who are proud and unwilling to be taught. We are to trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. You will never be wise unless you put to death the pride that keeps you from being able to sit under the teaching, especially the teaching of God's word. If you feel like you have pride and you're not willing to be taught, God can help you. Ask the Lord to give you the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is humility. Humility is a fruit of the Spirit, and it's the opposite of pride. And we need that humility to grow in God's wisdom. And it can only be attained ultimately through his supernatural grace and power. The ultimatum of wisdom is to diligently seek the Lord to find her. Again, verse 34. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. It's not something that you do when you first become a Christian. Well, now that I'm a member of the church and I went through my new members class, I don't have to study so hard because I already know the basics. Now, Christian life is about pursuing wisdom as a lifelong call. You never outgrow the need to pursue wisdom. As life changes, challenge changes. The challenge, new challenges come. you're young and then you get married and you have the challenges of raising your own children, and then you get old and you have to deal with the difficulties of age and debility sometimes. There's always something that we need to seek God's wisdom for, because life is always changing, isn't it? You never outgrow that wisdom to watch daily at her gates, to wait at her doorposts. We should do it all of our lives long. If you want God's grace, if you want life and peace, not only in this life, but in the life to come, you must obtain wisdom. Verse 35 and following. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor. That's the word that's also the later on, it becomes used as grace. He who finds me finds wisdom, finds favor, finds grace from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death, is the words of wisdom. To find favor and to find grace, you must have a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot find wisdom in God apart from Christ. And that's taught to us in 1 Corinthians 1. Let's turn there. 1 Corinthians 1. It's mentioned there starting in verse 18. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Verse 22 in that passage, it talks about Greeks looking for a sign. I'm sorry, the Jews looking for the signs. It's as if Jesus didn't give enough signs during his earthly ministry. As if the apostles didn't give enough signs during their earthly ministry. But the Greeks search after wisdom. And I would believe that we should apply this text to look at modern day atheists as being the Greeks of this world, according to that text. It's the one who says, unless I could see it proved in empirical science, I won't believe it. And I don't see that this gospel is worthy of believing, because it talks about a man being raised from the dead. It talks about Jesus Christ healing. It talks about things that cannot be explained by natural scientific phenomena, because they are secularists. They don't believe in the power of God, that God has the power to save. They don't believe in God, that God has the power to heal, because they are naturalists and secularists. But the wisdom of God is something that is supernatural, and it is something that we have to heed and believe the instruction to be wise. Those who refuse to sit at Christ's feet have rejected wisdom. And because they have rejected wisdom, they have sinned against themselves in a grievous manner. Their end is death, not only in this life, but in the life to come. God's call is for you to heed the voice of wisdom so that you would have life and peace and joy, not only in this life, but you would have eternal life in the life to come, rather than eternal death and dying. The call for us is to listen to wisdom, because she cries out, and she is wise, and she is to be heard, especially as taught in this holy scripture. She was from the very foundation, especially she was even there before the foundation of the earth. Her ways are of old. We ought to listen to her, because she is that master workman. Don't be deceived. This world was not created by a random set of events. It just happened. who was created by God's wisdom and power. The ultimatum of wisdom is that we are to seek her diligently, and to find her is to find life and favor and grace. Now, what if someone's foolish? Verse 5 says, "Fools, you are to understand wisdom." A fool needs to change. And God extends that hope that they can change. If you have opposed God and his kingdom, God can change you. If you have refused to walk in his ways, God can change you. If you have rejected Christ as your Lord and Savior, even then God can change you. But in order for you to change, you must be born again. You cannot come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to please him, to hear the voice of wisdom, unless God gives you a new heart. For those who reject Christ, they are not merely sick in their sin and need a little medicine. They are spiritually dead in their transgressions, and they need to be born again to hear the voice of wisdom. Ask God, if that is you and you feel like you've not committed yourself, ask God to give you the Holy Spirit, that you would be convinced of your sin and misery, that you would have your mind enlightened by the knowledge of Christ, that he would renew your will and he would help you to embrace Christ as he's offered in the Holy Gospel. Ask him to help you believe that Jesus Christ was raised on the third day, that he ascended into heaven, that he even paid for your sins, even yours, and you shall be saved. Let's pray.